Thanks for listening to the Awakening Podcast. We hope this message inspires and encourages you today. You know, I believe God has a word today for you. I've been praying for you. And I believe that God's going to give you a new measure of strength, of peace, of joy, of love today in His word. You know, preaching is so powerful. It's the proclaimed truth of the word of God going out, and we have the opportunity to receive it. And that's what amen means. When you say amen, you're saying, let it be so. And you're receiving the proclaimed truth of the word of God over your life. And so I pray that God would speak to you today. I pray that God would change us today. I pray that God's presence would be here. And I pray we're open. Amen. Tell the person next to you, you're going to leave different today. Tell your second choice, it's going to hit different today. Some of you like that. I want to read from the Bible today in John chapter 15. We're going to read in verse 1, John 15. We'll go to the Gospels. If you grab the Bible in front of you, it's on page 848 if you don't have a Bible. 848. I'm hearing some rustling. That's good. If you're there, say, I'm there. If you're not there yet, say, hold on, buddy. All right. I'm excited. Let's go. Got it. We got one person. All right, we're good. That's a cue enough for me to go for it. So I'm going for it. John 15, 1. This is Jesus speaking, and he says this. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, Jesus says. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. I want to talk to you today about this metaphor that Jesus presents as an image of what it looks like to have life in Jesus Christ. If you are a follower of Jesus, Jesus portrays in this metaphor what it looks like for you to be connected to him, for you to have a relationship with him. And I believe God's going to speak to you. I believe our relationships are going to go deeper. I believe the Holy Spirit is going to speak through me to you, and your spirit is going to be raised up, and God is going to lift up your countenance, and that depression will flee, and that fear will flee, and that doubt will flee, and that faith will prevail, and that strength will rise up. Come on, God's got a word for you today. Did you come ready? I can feel you brought your faith with you today. That's good. God moves with faith. I'm speaking to you on Jesus, the true vine. Jesus, the true vine. Let's pray one more time. Father, I thank you for your goodness. Jesus, I thank you that you sent your son to die for us, Lord. And today, God, we stand in life with the promise of eternal life because of the sacrifice that you made for us, Jesus. And so we boldly come into your house today, God, asking for you to touch us, asking for you to speak to us, asking, Lord, for you to download to us today, Holy Spirit. And so take these moments, Lord, and speak to your people in Jesus' mighty name. Everybody said, amen. 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 You know, part of growing up and part of maturing is learning the things that you're good at and being able to be honest about the things that you're not so good at. That's a part of maturity. You know, like some people know they're not good with kids, or maybe some people know they're not good with animals, you know, and you see animals and you get freaked out. Is it going to bite me? Is it not? Some people maybe aren't good at multitasking. Is anybody here not good at multitasking? You can be honest in church. We can have some confession this morning. No, I like to fix my focus on one thing at a time, Pastor. You know, I've realized what I'm not good at, and I want to just be honest and open with you today, if that's okay. Can we do this? I'm not good at plants, or maybe I should say I'm not good with plants. I'm just not good with plants. You know, like, these plants are nervous behind me right now just because I'm standing up here. They look good, but if I get too close, I'm telling you, the colors will change. A couple years ago, I bought a plant for my office. Everybody wants an office plant. Plant in your office. Office plant looks good, smells good, for the most part, changes the oxygen, is what they say, so they believe. So I had a plant, office plant. I had an office plant in the corner of my office. People would come in, they'd compliment it. Now, it's when they stopped complimenting it that I realized something was wrong. See, I didn't know, so I thought my plant was special. I would put a bottle of water every single day in that plant. Every day I put a fresh one. I mean, I was treating it nice. It was bottled water. I was not putting tap water. This is a holy plant. This is a called out plant. This is a spoiled plant. And I didn't know that, you know, you can overwater plants. So this whole time I'm watering the plant thinking I'm doing it a favor and I'm waterboarding my plant. No, please stop. Killed my plant. It's no longer in my office. Shout out to Kathleen. She resurrected it. It's still not doing too good though. You know, my dad, he's really good at plants. I didn't inherit that gene from my dad. Is the guy, he can go to the store and go to the clearance aisle for plants. You guys know what I'm talking about? That's like where they send the lost causes of plants. The yellow ones, the falling apart ones, the ones that it's like, well, what is it? Is it a tomato? Is it a flower? He can go into that aisle. He can take a plant. He'll bring it home. He'll resurrect it. He'll grow it. He's got all these plants and things. He grew a pineapple once in our house. It's wild. My dad's good at plants. Me? I'm not good at plants. My wife, she's good at plants. In fact, she's teaching my daughters right now about them. And my daughters grabbed some seeds. They started planting them and they grew these bean sprouts. Now, I had never seen this before. Everything I touch with plants dies. My daughters, they start growing these little things and they're growing quick and they're shooting up. And I'm like, man, that's amazing. So I went up to my 5-year-old and my 3-year-old and I said, girls, how did you grow these plants? She looks at me, she goes, Dad, plants need water, sun, and fertilizer. I'm just not good with plants. You know, it's funny, in this metaphor Jesus is using, he's using plants, he's using a vine as an example of what his relationship to us looks like. He's saying he's the vine and we're the branches. And he draws this distinction of what it looks like to be connected to him. He tells us what it's like to live a life in Jesus Christ. And that's what I'm talking about today. I'm saying that if we abide in Jesus, who's the true vine, then God will be faithful to bear fruit in our lives. We got to be deeply connected to Jesus. Your relationship to Jesus is not something that's distant or far off. You're either connected, you're either clinging, or you're not. You either have the rock in your life or you don't. There is no semi-connected. There is either full connection or disconnection with the Lord. Do you have a strong connection with God? Or is your connection to Christ weak, which will lead to a weak faith and stagnant life, and it will lead to doubt, and it will lead to open doors for evil spirits and evil things like depression and fear and anxiety, and your connection is weak to the source of life, like a house without a foundation, all the structure but no strength. Like a disconnected light bulb, the potential for power and light, but it's not tapped in to the source. No, Jesus is the vine, and he says, I am the source of life. You know, the scene of John 15 is actually called the farewell discourse of Jesus. This is after the Last Supper. Jesus is with his disciples. Then he begins to share this metaphor. Now, this is the final of the 7 I am statements in the book of John. Maybe you've heard some of them. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the good shepherd. I am the door. This is the final of those statements. And Jesus says to his disciples, he says, I am the true vine. This is a claim to godhood from Jesus. He's saying, I am. Remember in the Old Testament what God said his name was? I am that I am. Jesus is saying, I am the true vine. He is the eternal source of life. Jesus is presenting himself as the source of all things living. He's the seed of Abraham. He's the root of David that was planted, that was sown into the earth and died. And what happened 3 days later? He sprang up and resurrected, opening up the way into eternal life, becoming our true vine and source of life. Come on, Jesus is the true vine. He is life and life more abundantly. That's what he said. And so in Jesus, we can be tethered to life itself. You can be tethered to the true vine. You can walk with a direct connection, with a direct IV, so to speak, of life being infused into your life. That's the first part of the metaphor. Now, what does he say about us? He says, you are the branches. Tell the person next to you, you a branch. You are not the vine. You're a branch. See, before you come to Jesus, you think you're the vine. You think life is all about me, it's what I'm doing, I'm the man, I'm the bee's knees, I'm the business, you think life is all about you. And then you realize, hold on a minute, I'm just a branch. Jesus is the vine. Come on, everything is about Jesus. Jesus is the center of our lives. He is the center of all things living. Jesus is the center, not us. What does the Bible say? In him, all things hold together. Jesus is the vine. before you have Jesus in your life. It's like you're driving your own car in life. You get saved, you let him in the car, he's in the passenger seat, and you're not driving right, and you're hitting the guardrails and the potholes and the bumps. You got to pull over. You got to let Jesus be the vine here. You got to let Jesus get into the driver's seat. You got to move to the passenger seat. I just picture Jesus getting out of the car to go drive, and he sees all the bumps on your car that you hit. Oh, man, that was a bad one. Yeah, I remember when you made that decision, that was not good. Remember when you hit that? Oh, that was not. Yeah, you were going too fast over that pothole. He gets in the driver's seat. Now he's driving. This is what it looks like to have him as your vine. You allow Jesus to take the wheel of your life. You allow Jesus to take control of everything that's happening in your world. Come on, you don't be a backseat driver. Some of us are backseat drivers. Jesus, can you speed it up a little bit? I thought I'd be there already. I've been waiting so long for that. I've been waiting so long to get married, Lord. What's going on here? I've been waiting so long for that thing to come out. What's going on? And what does Jesus say? I'm taking my time. I'm never late. Will you allow Jesus to drive? Will you yank the wheel? Will you be a backseat driver? Come on, will you let him be the true vine in your life? Will you let him be the source of all things? Will you allow God to make the decisions for you? Will you allow God to lead you? Will you be a pleasant passenger? You know, you don't want to be the Uber rider that has bad reviews. No one will pick you up. But we are the branches. The branch is the conduit for the life from the vine to flow through it, that it would bear fruit. See how that works? Now, what is fruit? What does Jesus mean when he's talking about fruit? Well, fruit is the effects of a healthy connection to Jesus. That's what it is. If you have a healthy connection to the vine, well, then naturally there's going to be fruit. And it's the effects of that. Like, for example, like salvation is fruit. Because God doesn't just save individuals, he saves families. And so you will get saved, but then your spouse will get saved if they're not. Then your children will know about salvation. Then your families will get saved. Why? Because Jesus is saving the branch. Jesus brings salvation into a home. He saves households and generations. Salvation is a fruit. Can you say amen? Amen. Salvation is a fruit. Freedom is a fruit. You know, you get saved, and you're dead on the inside. You're like a branch that was fallen on the floor, dry and dead. What does Jesus do? He takes you, he grafts you into the true vine. And now you begin to have life flowing through you. Now God begins to set you free in your mind. Now God begins to heal you from things of the past. Now God begins to set you free of addiction. Come on, that's fruit. Amen? It's fruit that Jesus does in our life. There's the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. It's the fruit. And you gotta understand this about fruit, that humanity cannot make fruit. You can't make fruit. You either have it or you don't. It comes from the vine. I mean, think about it. How do you create peace? Think about that. How do I make peace? I mean, look at history, and there's been treaties, and there have been meetings, and there have been pacts, and yet we're war-torn. There's death. There's destruction. There's no perfect society. How do you make peace? Well, I just need some alone time to have some peace in my life. I just need a good vacation to have some peace in my life. Come on, that's not peace. That's relief. That's a momentary relief. That's not peace. I mean, you go on vacation, you come back, there's more work than when you left. Your lawn's all overgrown, you get back to work, your boss says, I've been waiting for you. The past 2 weeks, the list has really piled up, buddy. It's not peace. How do you make patience? How do you make yourself more patient? By sheer will, I will be more patient. I will be more patient. How about self-control? I'm going to have some self-control right now. I'm telling myself, stay in control. Now you can't make fruit. You either have it or you don't. Adrian Rogers says, I'll tell you one thing about fruit. You'll never see a fruit factory. You see a shirt factory, but you see a fruit orchard. You cannot manufacture fruit. See, what humanity makes is the processed version, not the natural version. See, humanity makes the processed version of love, and we get lust. We get tolerance. It's processed. Humanity makes the processed form of peace, and we get avoidance. We get escapism. Humanity makes the processed form of joy. And we get what? We get temporary happiness. We get pleasure from substances. But I'm here to tell you today, God's got the real deal. Amen? God's got the real fruit. Come on. He's got the non-GMO. Come on. He's got the organic. He's got real love. He's got real joy. He's got real peace. Amen? God's got the real fruit. If you're looking for joy, the Bible says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Come on, if you need more love in your life, it's not that we love God, the Bible says, but that God loved us, and he gave himself for us. Come on, if you're looking for rest, what does the Bible say? Jesus says, come to me, all of you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. God's got peace. Jesus said, my peace I give to you. God's got the real stuff. It's not fake, it's not processed, and it can only come from the Lord. The only way to have real fruit in your life is to be tethered to the vine. Jesus says, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. And so it's the branch's job to abide. Tell the person next to you, abide. Abiding, it's staying connected to the vine. Hudson Taylor, a missionary to China, he says this. He says, the branch of the vine does not worry and toil and rush here to seek for sunshine and there to find rain. No, it rests in union and communion with the vine. And at the right time and the right way is the right fruit found on it. So let us abide in the Lord Jesus. Well, what does it mean to abide? What does this mean? Abiding, remaining in Jesus. Well, I want to give you three things today. Number one, abiding means constant proximity to Jesus. Constant connection to Jesus. You're close to him. There's a real relationship. You're proximal to your Savior. You know, the enemy to your proximity will be distraction. Distraction is the enemy of a close relationship with Jesus Christ. The world is competing, church, for your attention. It's competing for your energy. It's competing for your time. And if we're not careful, we'll allow distractions to come in and pull us away from abiding in Jesus. What do I mean by distraction? Well, how about just being too busy? Busyness. With what? Just stuff. Well, I got to go to work, and then I got to go pick up the kids, and then I got to go get the bread, then I got to get the milk, and then I got to go over here and pick up the dog, and I got to go to my aunt's house, and I got to go do that thing, and then this person's waiting for that. I got to text this person, I got to call this person, I got to go to the dog. And we're just busy. Come on, some of us are too busy for our own good. I know that's very practical, but I'm telling you, that's the word of God for some of you in this room. You think you're in spiritual warfare where your enemy is just your schedule. You just got to get your schedule right. You're too busy. Come on, can we slow down? Can we take a step back? Can we keep ourselves close to Jesus and not just allow distractions to get in the way? The Bible talks about two sisters, Mary and Martha. Maybe you've heard of them, and tells a story that Jesus was in their house and he was teaching. And Mary, she was at the feet of Jesus listening, but Martha, she was serving and she was doing all this stuff. And the Bible says this, that Martha was distracted. Do you have that verse? Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to him and said, Lord, don't you care that my sister left me to serve all alone? Tell her to come help me. And look at what Jesus says. He says, but the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you're anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. I mean, you could have Jesus in your house and still be distracted. You could be in the church. You're thinking about, man, what's for lunch? I got some family coming over. What am I going to do about that later? Come on, we're so distracted. We're so distracted. You could serve God. You could be on the A-team. I'm talking to the A-team now. You could be on the A-team and serve God and not know Jesus. You could be distracted with much serving. Come on, A-team, you got to serve one, sit one. That's for the A-team. We're not going to allow busyness to be a distraction and to pull our attention away from the eternal. But what else is there as a distraction? Media. Media is a distraction. Now, we know this, scrolling and news and reports and phones and games and all of that. Media is a distraction. Media wants your attention. Notification, notification, notification. Email, email, email. Spam. Media is competing for your attention and trying to pull you into a distraction. You know, I was curious, so I did some research for you. You can thank me later. And I looked into what the average screen time is right now. Have you gotten your screen time notification yet, iPhone users? Usually you get them on Sunday, right? Is it like a gut punch every time? Well, the average screen time right now for a person from the age of 16 to 64, according to one poll, was 6 hours a day. It's the average screen time. Now, I'm not saying that to condemn you or to shame you. I'm just stating facts, man. Just some facts. Just pure data. So I did some more math for you. You can thank me later. 6 hours a day equates to 91 days a year of the average person from the age of 16 to 64 in front of a phone. 91 days. What if I told you I could add 91 days to your life? Just give me your phone. Come on, cough it up, leave it at the altar. We'll pray for you later. Come on, we have a problem. Can we be honest? We're distracted. We're distracted. We got to remove the distractions in our life that are pulling our attention away from Jesus. Look at this quote from C.S. Lewis in the Screwtape Letters. He says, "It does not matter how small the sins are, provided their cumulative effect is to edge the man away from the light and out into nothing. Murder is no better than cards if cards can do the trick. Indeed, the safest road to hell is the gradual one, the gentle slope, soft underfoot, without sudden turnings, without milestones, without signposts." I'm here to tell you today, you've got to replace the distractions in your life with spiritual disciplines. You got to get back to the basics. Tell the person next to you, you got to get back to the basics. I'm talking about prayer. I'm saying, like, do you have a consistent prayer life? Do you speak with the Lord? I'm talking about fasting, where you lay some things aside, maybe your phone, and you fast and you seek the presence of God. Come on, I'm talking about community and being together with the people of God in crews and knowing each other in fellowship. Come on, I'm talking about worship, where you begin to worship God. You know, some of us, Jesus is driving your car in life, and you're in the passenger seat, and you got, like, garbage music on the radio. Boom, 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 death. Fornication, boom, boom, adultery, boom, 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 drugs. Jesus is over here putting earplugs in. I'm not gonna listen to this. You listening to this? Oh, I gotta pray for you. Worship, getting into the presence of God. These are the fruit. This is the disciplines that God wants to have us. The Bible says, train yourself for godliness. See, because sometimes we don't like the word discipline. You know, sometimes Christians are like, I just want, like, a touchy-feely relationship with God, where I can feel my way forward, where I can feel my way towards prayer and towards worship and just worshiping God, and I just want a touchy-feely. No, God's calling you to discipline. Come on, I would rather be disciplined than distracted. I would rather be committed to God in prayer. I would rather have a schedule and I say, God, I'm going to pray at this time. I'm going to fast on this day. I'm going to pursue you in this day. I'm going to study at this time. I'm going to do this. Come on, discipline is good. Train yourself in the art of godliness. Amen? Discipline will diminish the distractions in your life. You got to be disciplined. Constant proximity to Jesus is abiding. Number two, abiding means choosing faith and trusting God when you don't understand. When something doesn't make sense, God, why is this happening in my life? Maybe you stepped out and you failed. You thought God was going to back up a decision you were going to make, and you know what? Things didn't work out, and now you're confused. God, it's hard to stay close when I'm confused. I thought you were going to back me up, Lord. I thought when I prayed, you meant I should step out and do that. Or maybe a prayer goes unanswered. You pray and you believe, like you have the faith as small as a mustard seed to see the mountain move, and the mountain stays right there. Nothing's happening. Will you abide? Maybe you lost a loved one and you're in a season of grief, and maybe it was too soon and your family's hurting. You're just like, God, how could you do this, Lord? Why? I'm here to tell you today, abide anyways. Abide anyways. Stick it out with God and see if God will not bring to completion the story he began in your life. Come on, I know emotions can sometimes get in the way of us being close to Jesus. I know things will not always be perfect for us. Jesus said, in this world, you will have tribulation. Come on, but he has overcome the world. And so we can stay close. We can stay together with the one who knows what he's doing. We can stay together with the author, the finisher, the perfecter of our faith. Can you abide anyways? Tell the person next to you, abide anyways. Abide anyways. There's a story in the Bible where Jesus, he had just fed the 5,000. So he did this miracle, fed 5,000 people. They were all partying, they were hanging out. And the Bible actually says he amassed quite a following from it. So now he's got all these people following him. His disciples are with him. And what does he do? He preaches a difficult word. So difficult, people get a little confused. Jesus says this in John 6:56, "Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him." And the disciples are like, did you really mean to say it that way, Jesus? Like, what is this all about? Is this cannibalism? What is it? What is happening here? This is kind of strange. Jesus, you just gained a following. Now you're going to say something like that. It's kind of going to mess up the numbers here, Lord. And they don't know what to do with it. It's like, we know you're Jesus, but what do we do with this word? God, we're confused. God, we don't understand. Look at what the Bible says happens. After this, many, not some, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. So Jesus said to the 12, do you want to go away as well? Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And we have believed and come to know that you are the Holy One of God. God's call to us is not come and understand me. God's call to us is come and follow me. Can you stick it out with God? Can you abide anyways? Come on, can you stick close with him, knowing that he's going to bring it to fulfillment? Come on, can you choose to believe that the plans that God have for me are greater than the experience that I'm in right now? Can you believe? Can you abide? Can you stay close to Jesus? Because our relationship with Jesus is not emotional. Oh, I came in for the high highs and God is so good. And then when the emotions go away, so will you. Our relationship with Jesus is not logical. Well, I've thought my way towards the existence of God and the universe and, you know, of course, the church and coming into his house and, you know, worshiping in spirit and in truth. And by logic, I have deduced that this is the right thing for me to do. No, you're going to walk in times in life where things don't make sense, where the math doesn't add up. But our approach to God is going to be one of faith. Can you say amen? Come on, has God been faithful to you? Has he been good to you through the dark times in your life? Come on, can you choose to have faith? Can you choose to trust God? Can you choose to believe that Jesus is going to make a way where there seems to be no way? His thoughts are higher than our thoughts, and his ways are greater than our ways. Number three, abiding means allowing God's pruning. If we abide in Jesus, then God will be faithful to bear fruit in our lives. See, our job is to abide. God, he's the vine dresser. He's the farmer. Amen? He's the gardener. He's the one who's going to bear fruit in our lives. And the Bible says, Jesus says, every branch that does not bear fruit, he prunes. That does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. What am I saying? I'm saying God is going to continually bring more fruit out of you if you stay tethered to the vine. And what do I mean by prune? What is Jesus saying? Prune. Like this is God's method for bringing more fruit into your life. That word kind of sounds a little intense, like prune, like God's going to slash away. Well, honestly, sometimes he might have to remove some things pretty quickly from your life. But the actual original word here for the word prune is this word katairo. And it means this, if you have it, to clean of filth or impurity. What is Jesus saying? He's saying God's going to come into your life and he's going to begin to clean the filth and the impurity in your life. He's going to begin to remove the dead shoots, the dead branches, the dead leaves that you have in your life. He's going to begin to remove the things that are stealing life and not providing fruit. Are you hearing what I'm saying? God might have to come in and remove some relationships from your life. You know, some of you guys are looking for a spouse, but you know, she's not saved, but you know, like she could be saved. And you know, her name is a Bible name. And you know, like there could be something there. And God's saying, hold on, buddy. She's going to lead you towards adultery. She's going to lead you towards fornication. She's going to lead you towards death. She needs to find me before she finds you because you're not her savior. I'm her savior. You're going to drag her to church. She's going to resent it. God's trying to remove that thing that's bringing pressure and stress in your life. And you're saying, God, I want to hold on. We were meant to be. God wants to remove some dead relationships in your life. God wants to remove some dead patterns of thinking in your life. Maybe you have bitter thoughts. Angry thoughts, thoughts of unforgiveness. I could never forgive them. God wants to prune that out of your life. God wants to remove it so that you could have more life. Amen? Here's a prayer you can pray. You can pray this and ask the Lord, Lord, is there anything in my life that you are trying to prune that I'm holding on to? Is there anything, God? Because the truth is, you cannot remain the same if you remain in Jesus Christ. He says, whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. God will produce a harvest in you. God will multiply the fruit in your life. God will multiply the love in your life. You know, before you didn't even care about the person holding a sign in the street asking for money. Now you'll begin to drive by and have compassion on them. You'll begin to pray for them. What's God doing? He's multiplying your love. Maybe your family's unsaved. I was talking to one gentleman recently. He was sharing with me. Him and his brother never really got along. They had a lot of tension. And recently, they were able to have a conversation. It was healthy and there was healing. In fact, they were able to have a family reunion where all the family came together. And he told me there was healing from past hurts and past traumas. He said, my brother even asked me about God. And he said, Pastor, I didn't pray for this. I feel like God just led me to this place where now there's love and reconciliation in my family. God will multiply the love in your life. Amen? God will multiply the fruit in the work in your life. God's going to multiply your strength. He's going to make you stronger. You're not going to be a waffle. You're not going to be a noodle. You're not going to be a reed shaken by the wind, but God will put a strength in your bones. He'll make you stand solid on your feet. Come on, you're going to be connected and tethered to truth itself in the vine, and you'll be able to weather any storm that comes your way. You know, we had a tornado on Wednesday night. Did some of you guys see that? Did it hit where you were? It was near us, and I woke up. I was sleeping, sound asleep, having dreams about heaven, and I heard the sound of the wind, and I saw the flashes, and I woke up. Now, in my mind, the way I got up was like the swift motion, like I grew wings, and I stood up straight, and I was ready to defend my home. You know, like it was like a scene out of Marvel, like, boom, I stand up, let's go, let's fight, let's do this. My wife doesn't think it was that cool. She said, I rolled out of bed, and I just stood there, like, she was like, what are you doing? It's just thunder. What are you doing? No, she does not talk like that. I should not do an impression of my wife. My kids were screaming, we lost power. And then all of a sudden I hear beep, beep, beep. You know the sound your phone makes for emergency alerts? It's way more annoying than that, but it's about as close as I can get to it. I pick up my phone. It says, warning, danger, imminent threat, winds, take shelter. You know, the reality is when you go through storms in your life, the enemy tries to send notifications of fear into your mind. You're going through something difficult, the enemy will start to say, fear, be afraid, get ready, you're going to lose, you're not going to make it, there's no way out of this. But you've got to make the decision. I'm not going to believe the fake notification, I'm going to stand on the good news. Come on, I'm tethered to the vine. God will give me a strength in my bones. Come on, I might bend, but I won't break. Come on, I might shake, but I will not fall off. Come on, I've got a strength in me. I've got a strength in my bones. I've got a strength in my faith. Come on, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Can you say amen? Come on, church, I'm speaking this prophetically over you. You are not weak. You're not weak. You're tethered to the vine. Can you say amen? We got a deep connection to the Lord, and he's bringing a harvest of strength into our lives. So what am I saying? I'm saying we've got to abide. We've got to abide. That's your job. Your job is just stick it out. If you abide with Jesus, God will be faithful. He'll mature your faith. He'll bring some fruit into your life. He'll bring some healing into your life. All you have to do is abide. I'm going to keep going to church. I don't understand what's happening. I'm going to keep going to church. I'm going to keep praying. I'm going to keep believing. I'm going to keep holding on to the hope that I have. Come on, God's hope is an anchor to our soul. Abide, amen? And how does Jesus close out these thoughts? He says something that's so final. You know, it's almost hard to even fathom what he means by this, but he says this. He says, apart from me, you can do nothing. Like nothing, God? He knows what he's saying. Zero, zilch, for all my Spanish speakers, nada, ayúdame, señor, nothing. Apart from Jesus, you got nothing. Have you had this realization? You could have everything in the world, church. Let me tell you, you got nothing. If you have Jesus, you have everything. This is the good news of the gospel. You could have a six-figure salary, making all the bucks, daddy big bucks over here. Let me tell you, you're nothing. You could have all the accolades, all the awards, all the recognition up in the government with the suit and the governor's with you. Oh, it's good, very good. Oh, he's a well-made man. Oh, it's nothing. It's nothing. Only the eternal matters. Only the eternal matters. Come on, outside of Jesus, nothing. With Jesus, everything. The good news is that God gave his life so that we could have life. The very breath you breathe is a consequence of the grace of God. People live as if they're expecting their next breath, making plans for the future. I mean, we don't even know, church. We don't even understand the complexity of the grace of God, that God would allow people who don't even know him to live and to try to find him, and he would desire them to be saved. Come on. The life that we have is a substance. It is a part of the grace of God working on this earth. We've got nothing without Jesus. We've got nothing without him. By his salvation, we have eternal life. In him, we have a purpose. We have a strength. We have a hope. We have a future. He is the true vine. Can you say amen? Will you stand today? I want to pray for you. You know, I really just sense in this place that there are people who maybe you were in that place where it's tough to follow God right now. If you were to be really honest, it's hard. Maybe you're even here today and you're like, man, I didn't even want to come to church. It's just they said the just keep coming thing, and I thought, you know, maybe I'll check it out. I really feel like today God wants to give you a new strength. God wants to impart a strength to you. God wants to restore the connection between you and him, the true vine. Maybe you feel like you're lacking some fruit in your life. You used to have peace, you used to have joy, and man, it's just not there anymore. There's depression, there's sadness. I used to have hope, and now it's just like, man, it's hard to get up every day. I believe today, God's gonna give you a new strength. Thanks for listening to the Awakening Podcast. We hope this message has encouraged you. If you want to learn more about our church, visit us online at awakening.global. We'll see you soon.